We are listener supported. One Radio Network.
Well, welcome to our number two, or our part two of our little show. Sorry, we had a delay, had a little camera issue, but everything is straightened out now. Good morning. It is August 5, 2020, and this is Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Been an interesting morning talking about money, and we are going to continue in this realm with Mike Mish Shedlock. He's an investment advisor, has been for a very long time, for Sika Pacific Capital. He's been looking at global economics and articles for people all over the world, into gold, precious metals, all kinds of different things. He's had his articles published in the New York Times, God love him, Time Magazine, CNBC, and his website. You can find him on thestreet.com/MishTalk, and Mr. Mish is right here with us. Good morning, sir. Mish, where did that word, that name come from? Mish, where did that name come from?
Oh, good question. First off, thanks for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be on with you, Patrick.
Yeah,
nice. Mish is just the first two characters of my first and last name, Mike Shedlock. It comes from stock chat room boards around 2000 when I had a user ID of Mishedlow, and people just truncated it to Mish, and I said, hey, that's kind of catchy. Let's just use Mish.
I can like
and,
it. And yeah.
People want to call me Misha, or, they think it's Russian or Eastern European, but it's just the first two characters in my first
Well, it's good to have you here. You look great. You just moved to Utah, right?
Oh, my gosh. It's a pleasure to be out of Illinois and in Utah. We were paying $14,000 a year on a house that's worth about $380,000. Now, is that crazy or what?
Whoa.
In Illinois, you don't own your house. You rent your house from yourself, and you pay the state of Illinois the privilege of $15,000 to live in your own house.
Wow.
Finally, we said enough is enough. And so here we're talking. I'm talking to you from Utah, from southern Utah.
Yeah, I hear it's a beautiful state. That's crazy. So this, your house was valued under $400,000, and you ran to the county at the great state of Illinois for 15 G's a year in taxes?
$15,000 a year in property taxes.
Wow. You got it. You just can't do that. That's crazy. You know, that's nuts. So it's a lot better out there.
We're renting a house here now. I don't know if I'm going to own another house. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing we really like it here already. Just been here for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. But you know what? If we decide to move to the Northwest or someplace else, I don't want another house. I don't want to have to sell another house. Just going to, I'm liking the mobility of renting a house rather than buying one, even though the property taxes here.
So I don't know. I don't know Utah, Mish, but I suspect there's a lot of ranchers, a lot of Second Amendment kind of guys, and more conservative, maybe?
You
don't know yet?
It's hard to judge here. We've just been here for a couple of weeks. Certainly, Utah is a red state, not a blue state. I can absolutely tell you that just from looking at the polls, but we're in an area near a university, so it's a retirement community, but also a university town, so it's a nice mix of people. And of course, 80,000 is a huge town for Utah, but it would be a nothing sized town in Illinois compared to Chicago or Rockford or any place like that.
As we talk about the economy tomorrow, well, we're going to dig into some fun things that you look at, and you have a lot of interesting articles, is how I found you. Do you think it's going to even matter these days, the survivability financially, if you're in a red or a blue state?
I don't know, and we need to see the outcome of the election. I'm certainly fearing, I don't know, I'm fearing a bailout of corrupt states like Illinois. Actually, that's the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
The states like Illinois got themselves in trouble with public unions, with overcommitments, with property taxes to pay for everything. I'm afraid that if the Democrats take control of everything, we would see bailouts. That's not what needs to happen, in my estimation. I'm a free market libertarian, so I'm, you know, anti-government. I'm small, or let me put it this way. I'm in favor of small government. And so politics on both sides have made a big mess of things. Certainly, you look at the candidates and you say, is this really the best we had to offer? The problem is politics are so extreme now. Mm-hmm. And the weird thing is I've been accused of both being extreme right and extreme left. Just by, you know, saying something. If I say something that I say, I like Trump that he did this, I get accused of being extreme right wing. If I say I struggle, but I can name a couple of things that Obama did that I like, certainly not Obamacare, then I get accused of being extreme left. I'm neither of those because I'm a big free trade advocate, and that's one of my huge disagreements with Trump, starting all of these trade wars with the world.
Yes, sir.
So there's no candidate out there that, you know, from the mainstream that meets the definition of libertarian other than, say, someone like a Ron Paul or his son, you know, yeah. Rand Paul.
Rand Paul.
That's about it. And, you know, neither of them is running.
So, Mish, as a libertarian, when we see what's going on with all the pension funds, going around the country, not just Illinois, everywhere. Do you think it would ever be a case for a government to have the Fed print this money, borrow it from the Fed, and bail them out, and add to the whatever we got, $27 trillion debt, just to so people don't go walking around the streets when there's 80 their money they're counting on? I mean, do you think government has any kind of responsibility for that?
No, absolutely not. And by trying to do it, by trying to set up Social Security the way they did and all these entitlement programs and the FDIC, which I also don't agree with. And certainly we've got, you know, all of these wars and we have a Fed that is essentially exists to protect the banks at the expense of the little people. Who benefits from all of this? Well, I'll tell you. The politicians benefit, the people with most access to first access to money benefit, that's the banks and the already wealthy. By the time the small guy, you know, has access to the money, which we saw in the housing bubble, right? By the time they were allowed to get the loan is what they were before everything blew up. You know, that's always the end level, and they were the people most harmed by all of this. So we bailed out the banks, bailed out the wealthy, you know, bailed out the pension funds, and the Fed has the gall to rail against, you know, income and wealth inequality when they're the number one reason for it.
Yeah, I understand. I understand what you're saying. I'm a true libertarian. So as a libertarian, you're arguing that you just have to let the chips fall where they may. Let things reset or reboot, but then you'd have to get to a point of some kind of solid money, wouldn't you, Mish, or some kind of real fiscal responsibility for it to just not do it again?
Absolutely, I don't know how we get there,
yeah.
Or if it's even possible to get there now. Certainly, the politics are not conducive to getting there.
What?
The one of the better things that Trump did. Is he nominated Judy Shelton for the Fed? You know, she's a gold advocate.
Yeah.
I don't know whether she's going to become a Fed governor, Fed president or not. I don't know if she's going to, you know, pass the nomination process. Two Republicans have already said, you know, they wouldn't support her. They can afford to lose one more vote. And then Mike Pence would be the tie-breaking vote in the Senate, and she would get on the Fed.
Huh.
And the interesting thing is, you know, the Fed talks to these creams. Well, they want diversity. They're a bunch of liars. They don't want diversity. You know, diversity to me is not color, religion, race, or sex. Diversity is the diversity of opinion. Every one of these people on the Fed is all from the school of print more money, unsound money. There's no diversity of thought on the Fed. Okay, so, you know, we put someone, another woman on the Fed. If she thinks exactly like the rest of them do, which Janet Yellen, of course, did, you know, what good did that do? It didn't do any good. We've got a chance here now to actually get someone on there, and we can actually have a discussion at the Fed on sound money and sound money principles. That's what's needed. To me, that's what's diversity. Not all of these fools, which is what they are, think, you know, they think they can steer the economy like a truck. It's crazy. It makes about as much sense as the 5-year Soviet plans that failed every 5 years.
So I think you brought up something really interesting that I haven't really thought about before. We can all look at the socialist idea of diversity. You got to have more black people or more Chinese people or whatever, right? I mean, trying to make everything equal, but that doesn't do anything, right? It doesn't matter about the color or the race or the sex or the religion of the person. What matters is about how they think.
Yes, it's diversity of thought.
Yeah.
And there's very little diversity of thought. And you're right. I've actually not heard anyone express that either. I did write about it my blog.
I think it's good. You should write about that.
I wrote about Judy Shilton.
Yeah. No, I think it's a good. I think it's a very interesting point, you know, that the people that want things all equal to, you know, to make things better. I don't know where that all comes from. Shedlock is here, thestreet.com. So what do you make of this gold thing? I mean, is this just like, oh, a fastball in the dirt, and there's a lot of people going to get clobbered a few days from now with the go down? Or what are you thinking?
I've been a sound money advocate, so I've always had a position in gold. People don't understand gold at all, actually, what it is. They don't understand the supply of gold. They don't understand the supply of Bitcoin either, which we can talk about.
Yeah, I'd like to. Yeah.
But the supply of gold is every ounce ever mined. And people, you know, talk about this and they look out there and they say, well, we got this jewelry demand out here. Jewelry demand is a minuscule piece of the demand for gold. In fact, it's irrelevant. It might even be a contrary indicator, the demand for jewelry, which actually tends to go up when they price of gold falls. Mm-hmm. The demand for gold is a monetary demand. That's what's going on. And the value of gold, or the price of gold in dollar terms, rises when people lose faith in the Fed, and it sinks when people have faith in the Fed. The people think of gold as some sort of inflation hedge. It's not really, except in extreme cases of stagflation or hyperinflation. But we had inflation from 1980 all the way to 2000 to now, right? Gold fell from 850 to 250 under the Greenspan Fed, with inflation every step of the way. So where was your inflation hedge there? There was no inflation hedge.
Good point.
There.
Yeah.
The gold fell because people had faith in Greenspan. He was called the maestro, right? Mm-hmm. Had this whole period under Greenspan it's called the Great Moderation. You know, he was a genius until the dot-com bubble blew up. And then all of a sudden, he was no longer a genius. Then we had a housing bubble after that. Gold soared from 250 all the way to 1900. As people lost faith in central banks coming under control, and one of the reasons, you know, behind the rise of gold then was this, the collapse. Everyone thought the Eurozone actually might break up, and what was going to happen there? Greece and Italy and all of this, and then all of a sudden, Mario Draghi in 2012. Comes out and he gave this famous speech, we will do whatever it takes to save the euro.
I remember.
And believe me, it will be enough. That was the interesting thing about that, Patrick, is he didn't do anything. They didn't do anything. He made that speech.
He just said
that. But it restored faith in the ECB that they had things under control. And then the Fed was supposed to be tapering and all of this nonsense that never really happened to any degree at all. But people for a while believed The central banks had things under control again. So the price of gold sank from 1900 all the way down to close to 1000. And then all of a sudden we had these repo crises. Now we've got, you know, the coronavirus. We've got printing. We've got negative interest rates all over the world. The price of gold went back up. That's the real driver for the price of gold. It's the monetary demand, not jewelry, not any of these other things that people are talking about. Certainly, I posted a chart on my website, Patrick. People say, well, gold is dependent on the dollar. Only in the very short micro term is there any kind of relationship. I posted a chart and gold right now, with the U.S. dollar index right where it is right today, gold has been over 2,000, it's been 1,000, and it's been 380 at the same
93.
U.S. dollar value.
93, whatever
so
it is.
So clearly gold is not tied to the U.S. dollar.
Yeah. Wow. That's a very well said. Mish Shadlock is with us. If you'd like to be on the show, 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. When you said that about Greenspan, remind me of the classic shot of Hank Paulson and his little bald head. And he, remember in 08, he got out there and boy, he just assured everybody that the markets were solid. And that classic video, yes. I wish I should have pulled it up for us, but and that settled things down too. He got out there and he was pretty good on camera.
It settled things down. They did a lot of illegal activities. The illegal activities are still considering are happening today. In fact, with every crisis, the amount of illegal activities and the authority that the Fed usurps, you know, where did they get the right all of a sudden to buy, you know, bonds? And they're going out there buying, you know, does Microsoft need support for its bonds? No, it's they're trying to prop up faith in the stock market. You know, they may as well come right out and say, "Hey guys, we're targeting the stock market," because that's what they're doing. At some point, it's going to fail. The bubbles always blow up. The dot-com bubble blew up ironically, right as Greenspan embraced it. He gave a speech in 1997, I think, called Irrational Exuberance, where he thought the stock market was too high. But by the time 2000 came around, he was a believer in it. He was a believer in the productivity miracle. He was worried about the economy overheating, you know, from all this magnificent technology that's going on. And it's right there in the Fed minutes. The next month, boom, recession hits, and these guys don't know what's going on. If you think these guys know what's going on at the Fed, you know, you're just wrong. I mean, look at Bernanke, famous speech. He said, you know, he was asked about the housing bubble in Congress. And he said, well, you know, and I can't remember who asked him that question. He goes, Senator, I don't believe, you know, I take objection to, you know, your question. We don't have a housing bubble. You know, that was his exact answer. And people think that these guys are going to steer the economy. It's crazy.
Let me do this break. Okay, I got to do a quick break. All right, stay right there. I got a lot of questions here. I had so many there, I couldn't even grab one. It was just boom. All right, Mish Shadlock is with us. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Stay there. Here's Master Herbalist Stephen Buhner giving some insights, guys, on why this pine pollen could boost your testosterone levels.
The pollen itself is extremely high in a number of male estrogens, the most potent of which is testosterone, and it's got a fairly high level of it. I mean, it's still in the micrograms, but that's really all the difference between us and women, is that we have this microgram more than they do, and then in the womb, that shifts us into the male developmental pattern. So when we start adding that stuff back in to our bloodstream, which you do if you take that sort of tincture and you hold it in your mouth for a while and then you swallow it without putting it in any water or anything, it goes right through the mucous membranes into the bloodstream, and so you start to get an increase in the body of actual testosterone, which then circulates to pretty much every cell in the body, and that then begins to increase vitality and muscle strength and everything else.
This is a great product. I've taken it for years. You can click and order an Easter Thrival link, different variations in the pine pollen, potency and price. Take your pick right here on OneRadioNetwork.com. And we're very happy to say that this little puppy guy is on sale. Here it is. It's the four P's, my fave. And we recommend, if you'd like to try some, it's a great time now, 20%, and use promo code PINE20, P-I-N-E 20, PINE20, 20% off for the next few weeks. So this is the sale of the year, and it's a really good product. A lot of ladies who are going through the perimenopause thing, 45, 50 in that range, tend to need a little more testosterone. Their doctors will tell them they'll want to do the bioidentical stuff or the BBs and all that at the low T centers you've heard advertised maybe on the radio. And we don't recommend that. That's a little rough on the body. This is a food. It's from the pine tree. And so the body can deal with it in a very nice way. And you just take a nice dropper full, you know, like this. Whoa. It's a good product, and you can do it every day, guys, and keep your T levels up, and you don't have to do the chemicals and all that stuff. It's not good. PINE20 is the promo code. Any Sir Thrival link, OneRadioNetwork.com. I've been exposed to a lot of technologies in the last, well, I guess, how long has it been? 40 years. Is that possible? Late 70s when I started talking about natural products on the radio in New Orleans in the late 70s. Long time ago. And so you can imagine all the different things that I've been exposed to as far as technologies and products, of course. But technologies, so many people have sent me gadgets. Why don't you try this? And, you know, I've tried a lot of gadgets, and some have worked a little bit. This technology that we've been using for a year is, to me, the real deal. It's molecular hydrogen. It's called Brown's Gas. You can go to molecularhydrogeninstitute.org and look at some real peer-reviewed studies. Are using it to help people get rid of oxidative stress mainly, and so that's everything, but then also to help them to heal and get back to normal when they have strokes, which can be really devastating for a lot of people. It's a molecular hydrogen. We have a machine, a lifetime warranty, that you can get right now. Check it out. Previously, with the highly credentialed Dr. Thomas Levy, he argues because the literature shows that oxidation is the cause of disease.
But the whole point is the location, the concentration, the duration, the distribution of oxidized biomolecules determines 100% of all diseases. And so that's why I say oxidative stress doesn't cause disease. Oxidation is disease.
Is disease.
If there's no oxidized biomolecules, you don't have a toxin. The toxic effect is oxidation of biomolecules. That's the entirety of it.
And by the grace of God, several months ago, George Wiseman said this about hydrogen.
Hydrogen is the world's best antioxidant by a long shot.
Hmm.
First of all, it's 700 times smaller than something like CoQ10, 400 times smaller than vitamin C, things like that. So it can literally go, the hydrogen molecule can literally go through everything in your body and go right into the very DNA and repair it.
So now it makes sense why George was able to say this back in August 2019 with such conviction.
The body accepts that gas and uses it to heal everything. It's like the fountain of youth. It's astonishing the amount of ailments. In fact, in scientific studies, and they have over 1,000 scientific studies now, they are showing that it either helps the body heal directly or indirectly from virtually every ailment that ails any water-based life form.
Okay, I'm sold. And I was able to get one a couple of months ago, thanks to your support. It's called the AquaCure Hydrogen Machine. Breathe the gas and bubble the water. There's a promo code OneRadio for 10% discount. I think a great investment for you, knowing what we know now, on OneRadioNetwork.com.
We are listener-supported, One Radio Network.
Well, we're having fun talking with Mish Shedlock. He's now in the great state of Utah where they got big mountains and lower taxes than Illinois, which is a wonderful thing. So with our listeners around the world, and they're seeing everything going on with gold, with the election coming up, with the whole COVID thing, what would you encourage them to keep an eye on as far as their own personal situation, to be able to be in, I don't know, in the next few years to be able to survive and thrive more than just survive?